The UK economy will make a full recovery by the end of this year, according to the country's central bank chief. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. This week marks 1 year since Andrew Bailey took over as governor of the Bank of England. In that time, he's overseen the worst economic contraction in more than 300 years due to the pandemic and mounted a response that prevented a public health crisis from taking down the nation's financial system. To help the economy weather the pandemic, the Bank of England dropped interest rates to their lowest ever level, hovering still at just above 0%, and it doubled the scope of its bond purchase program. Speaking to the BBC this morning, Mr. Bailey said he believes the worst is over for the UK economy.
Well, I'm now more positive, but with a large dose of caution. I think there's no question that the vaccine program is a great achievement. But what's also interesting from the point of view of the Bank of England's role is that the economic effects of the restrictions do appear to, over time, to be reducing as we all adapt. So we see a recovery in the economy during the rest of this year. But let me put the cautionary note in. Of course, this COVID effect on the economy is huge. So what we're saying with the recovery is that the economy will actually get back in terms of activity to around the end of this year to where it was at the end of 2019. So that's good news. But, I mean, let's be realistic. It's not more than getting back to where we were pre-COVID.
As Mr. Bailey said, the success of the UK's COVID-19 vaccination program has fueled optimism that shops, restaurants and workspaces can get back to some semblance of normalcy sooner than expected. But that's also helped push up inflation expectations, which is a challenge for the BOE's policymakers who meet later this week.
There has been a very large build-up in saving in the economy, largely because, of course, people have not been able to do the things they normally do. And the question, of course, then is to what use will those savings be put and over what period of time? It could introduce more consumption, more demand into the economy. In our latest forecast, we assumed that around about 5% of those savings would be spent over the next 2 years. That's fairly cautious. But let me say on the other side, of course, if we were to get a return of variants of COVID, which caused necessarily restrictions to have to be put in place again, that would have the other effect.
Expectations for higher spending and a more open economy might be mounting across this country, but it's still unclear for many what the future of work will really look like for many of us. Mr. Bailey weighed in on that debate.
I think we will see changes, and I see this actually as the governor of the Bank of England in terms of the way the Bank of England has run. I mean, we've had the most extraordinary year, obviously, in running the Bank of England, largely by people working at home and doing a fantastic job. And, of course, that's true across the country and across the economy. I think we will see things change because I think, you know, some habits and some practices will prove to be sustainable. So I think there will be, for many people, more of a hybrid model of, you know, working at home and working in a place of work. I think we've already seen the retailing industry change quite dramatically in the last year. And although I would expect some of it to change back, it won't entirely change back. I look forward to the fact that, you know, it will, of course, yeah, to a degree return. But I know, I think things will be different. I would be very surprised if we went back to exactly as we were before COVID.
That's the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey speaking to the BBC this morning. Checking the numbers now, stocks across Europe are starting the week in positive territory. Key stock benchmarks here in London, Paris and Frankfurt are up in the 0.2% to 0.4% range. Meanwhile, China Shanghai Composite Index ended down 0.9%. That's despite fresh figures showing industrial production and retail sales picked up in the first 2 months of this year. The Netherlands has joined the list of several European nations temporarily suspending use of the Oxford-AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. It's due to concerns over possible side effects, including reports of blood clots. The BBC's John McManus has more.
Ireland and the Netherlands have now joined Denmark, Norway, Bulgaria and Iceland in temporarily halting their use of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Ireland's health minister said the decision was based on new information from Norway and described it as a precautionary step. The European Medicines Agency says that the vaccine's benefits continue to outweigh its risks. It's carrying out a review into incidents of blood clots and says that as of March the 10th, there were just 30 reports of clots among almost 5 million people given the vaccine across Europe.
That's the BBC's John McManus reporting there. Well, as vaccine issues continue to plague much of Europe, some countries are forced now to reintroduce restrictions many had hoped would be easing by now. In Italy, which has the seventh highest number of recorded coronavirus cases in the world, all non-essential businesses, shops, and schools have been closed to try and contain spread of the virus. Now, though, the government has announced more closures will kick in starting the first week of April. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more on that from Milan.
Just over a year since Italy became the first country in the world to impose a national lockdown, it is shutting its doors once again. This region, Lombardy, the original epicentre of the first wave, is now one of 11 regions in Italy, that's over half the country, in which schools, shops, restaurants are closing as part of a red zone. And for 3 days across the Easter holiday, the whole of Italy will become a red zone. So there will be closures right across this country.
That's the BBC's Mark Lowen reporting there from Milan. Finally, for the last year, hand sanitizer and sweatpants have been staples in our shopping carts. Working from home and a lack of travel during the pandemic have certainly changed our spending habits. Today, the UK's Office for National Statistics will reconfigure the so-called shopping basket it uses to calculate price inflation. It'll include many of these items. So out are ground coffee, white chocolate and business attire, and in are free weights, malted chocolate candy, and smart home devices. Say I've used all of those in the last year. What say you? Is that a more accurate depiction of the things you'll buy over the next year? Let us know. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter, and don't forget the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.